every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Farm living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, and it is a little different today. Generally, on our third Saturday of the month, we've got Jay Harper in, talking all things nursery garden related, but we had a little change up this week. It actually worked well for both. The following Saturday, the fourth Saturday of the month, we have Farmer Greg in. Well, this week, they both called me asking separately, could they switch? It's Jay Harper's birthday weekend, so he and his wife, Trina, took him up to the little cabin near Christopher Creek. And Farmer Greg had called and said, you know, I've got the Great American Seed Up next week, and I'm going to be too busy to do the broadcast. Could I switch to this Saturday? So it worked out perfect. And Farmer Greg, this gives everyone an opportunity to learn about what the Seed Up is and maybe just encourage them to get their own fall garden started if they've never done it before, they've taken off gardening for a few years. This hour is to get you educated about seeds, excited about growing your own, and how to be not only sustainable, but regenerative.
Oh, I like it that you use that word. Hello.
Can you spell it, though?
Yeah. We are here with Bill McDorman today. Welcome, Bill.
Hello, Greg. I'm really honored to be on the Rosie again. This is such a great show.
Well, we're pleased to have y'all on. This is the first time we've ever done a Zoom broadcast. Farmer Greg is at his farm in Glendale, and we've got Bill McDorman from his location in North Central Arizona. I won't disclose it. I'm not sure if he wants that disclosed, but I'll let him do it if he wants to.
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Uh-oh. Personally, I wouldn't say it either because it's one of my favorite parts of the state, and it's the last thing you want on something like that is to see huge development move in.
Yeah.
So, saving seeds. We're talking all about seeds today and the importance of saving seeds. So, Bill, let's just jump in. Why is it important to save seeds?
Well, it's important, but why save seeds? Let's just start at the beginning. It's fun. It's easy, and it's unbelievably productive. I mean, there's nothing else you can do that'll give you more back. I mean, you know, we try to teach our kids something about compounding interest, you know, when they're young, so they'll put some money away, and over a 30 or 40 years, you know, period, it'll compound. It's an exponential curve. And every time you plant a seed, and you learn to save them, you get that in 1 year. You get that exponential increase. And so then you can give them away to your neighbors, you can trade them. And then the magic that really happens, and this gets into the importance, is that they learn to adapt to your particular backyard and conditions. And I think as modern gardeners, that idea has not been taught. In fact, it's almost been taken away from us. We think, you know, we've created this cult of expertise, like, oh, you know, my seeds will never be as good as those I buy. You know, there might be mistakes, things happen genetically, I just don't know what I'm doing. Therefore, I have to buy them every year. And nothing could be further from the truth. Those seeds that you get out of your yard that have been through a season with you start to adapt and change. And we know that now, and we can scientifically see the pictures of it happening in the DNA. And so, you know, this is the time, you know, to take all that stuff back and have fun and enjoy and bring some of that exponential return back into our lives, into our backyards.
Is there anything hardier on earth than a seed? I mean, look over the desert floor and how long between our rain and the beginning of the year to our monsoons. You know, we had 4 or 5 months there of absolutely no rain, harsh desert sun, no shade, rain comes, and all of a sudden sprouts are coming up everywhere. Now, it's not necessarily the seeds of plants we generally eat, but still, it doesn't make the seeds of tomatoes or beans any less hardy.
No, and you're right. I think they are the most, there's a picture going around, you can Google it, Methuselah is what they call this date palm tree that some Israeli scientists found 2,000-year-old date palm seeds. They were carbon dated, 2,000 years old, and with some help, they got them to germinate. And Methuselah is the date palm that they named it. And this was about 20 years ago, and that date palm just produced its first seeds, its first dates.
Wow.
And so you have to realize that this particular species of day palm has been extinct for 1,000 years. We have fossil records of it, but nobody's seen one of these trees for 1,000 years. And these seeds were so hardy, they jumped over 2,000 years, germinated, and now are making seeds again. And so that's probably the world's record, but I was in the seed business for 28 years. I never got tired of being just totally amazed at how hardy and resilient they were. They just kept surprising me, and I knew better, and I still got surprised.
Internet machine, help me out here on the spelling. M-E-T-H-U-S-E-L-A-H. And it takes you to a National Geographic article about it from 2015. Very cool.
Well, you know, and you mentioned the word regenerative there a minute ago, Romy. And I always often distinguish between sustainable and regenerative. I'm not a great big fan of sustainability, although it's a good middle step. Sustainable simply sustains what we're doing here. Regenerative exponentially grows it. When I think about the carrots that I had growing in my front yard a couple of years ago, I harvested seeds off of them, and I had an intern come in, and this intern didn't understand seeds, and I didn't understand that he didn't understand seeds. So he took my entire 6 ounces of carrot seeds and planted them in my front bed. That must have been, what, 100,000 seeds, Bill?
At least.
At least.
Quarter million.
Probably a quarter million seeds. So the next year, literally, I got a 5-gallon bucket full of seeds. A 5-gallon bucket full of carrot seeds. That is regenerative. When you plant one and you get 1,000, you plant 1,000 and you get 50,000, you plant 50,000 and you get 1,000,000. Just like Bill did a project, 10, 12 years ago on Sonoran white wheat down in Tucson. Right. Tell us about that, Bill.
Well, we started with a handful. Sonoran white wheat's the first original wheat in Arizona. Father Kino brought it when he was doing the missions, Tumacacri, San Javier, as he moved up the Santa Cruz River. And every time they built a mission, they had to grow wheat because that was the body of Christ. They called it wafer wheat, right? They would make those little white wafers they would have on Sunday for the ceremony. And so they took this wheat wherever they went. It actually came from Spain, and the Spanish got it from the Moors. It actually is one of the world's oldest wheats. It goes clear back to the Fertile Crescent. Wow. And so this wheat has been adapted and growing in Arizona for almost 400 years, and it almost disappeared completely. Through the industrialization that hit the reservations and the rest of us, we just forgot about it. You know, it's not bread wheat that you grow to, you know, make Wonder Bread, so nobody cared about any other wheats. And so when I was at Native Seed Search, we found a couple of handfuls, literally, and started growing them and increasing it. And I was director there for 3 years. By the time I left, we had 1,100 acres of it growing again. And now it's the basis. Well, you may have heard of Hayden Mills, which is up and running and selling local grains again. That was their first grain. It lets bring back the stuff that works here, that's been tried and tested for 300 years, so we don't need to use as much water to get back to what started this, Greg, regenerative. You know, Let's use the right tools, and seeds can embody that for us and help get us down the road. We don't have to take another 400 years to grow and save these here in the desert Southwest to adapt them. Wow, somebody already did that for us. All we have to do now is grow it.
One of the things that I love that you talk about, and you've been talking about this for over a decade, you compare a seed to a smartphone.
Well, I was trying to relate to all the tech heads at the University of Arizona in a TED Talk, right? How do you get them involved? If every single one of them was looking at their phone in the audience, all 250 people. What I said to them that day, I was giving this talk, I was charged with trying to get them interested in seeds. And so on their way into the auditorium, we passed out a corn seed to everybody. I had these big, beautiful dent corn seeds from the Native Seed Search collection. And everybody that came into the auditorium, we gave them one. This is your jewel. This is your seed. Save this. People are kind of looking at it and they're holding it in their hands. And so when I got up to talk, I was just one of the people presenting that night. I said, okay, I want everybody to hold their seed up in one hand and their cell phone in the other. All right. You can't use your cell phone. Just hold them up. All right. You got them? I said, okay, you've got just a few minutes to tell me to think about what is the most important technology that you're holding in your hand. Which one? Which is the most powerful What's important to you, technology? And so then I just have to talk fast, right? These guys are tech heads. So, you know, one of the first things I said is that put your phone in a clay jar in the Southwest for 600 years. Is it still going to work? Because I've got some bean seeds here that work and some of this corn, right? So we know the seeds are more durable technology. And then the most important thing is that seeds are self-replicating. If you have a cell phone, you used to have a cell phone. Right? It does a lot of amazing things, but that's all it is. Inside my corn seed, your corn seed, is a million other seeds, or more. It's exponential. It's unlimited. They're actually packed down inside there, right? It self-regenerates, and we don't have any technology that does that. We have 3D printers now that will print 3D printers, but they can't do the electronics, right? They can just do the physical part of it. Seeds do the electronics. In fact, they have AI built in. They're so smart that when they go through a life cycle, they can incorporate changes in their immediate environment into their DNA and then live to another day, come back into the seed form, last 2,000 years, as we talked about, and then regrow again. We don't have any technology that even comes close to that. And if you think about it, take a handful of seeds, put them in your pocket, you could actually go anywhere on the planet and start a whole new agriculture that would eventually be adapted to where that is. That's how we got everything we have throughout the planet. 10,000 years of people doing that created all the kinds of vegetables that we know and love now. That was all done by small little people, not knowing anything about genetics. So all before Mendel, just saving seeds from things they liked.
We're joined.
Back to what I said in the beginning is that seed saving is fun and easy, and you can actually end up with better seeds than anyone else.
We're joined by Bill McDormand of the Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance and Farmer Greg Moore at Rosie on the House right after this.